All right, so we've caught up with Andy Newell in Alaska, and you know, that's part of the U.S. training camp. And so Andy's there, the team is there doing some dry land training, and the women are there. I think they're just coming back from the glacier, and the guys are going up, and we're lucky enough to catch Andy before they head up because the internet on the glacier is not so great. And are you there on the line, Andy?
Yep, right here.
Excellent. So great that we could spend some time together and find out how it's going for you guys. So so you're in Alaska now. You're in Anchorage, and you've done a week of dry land training, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We kind of all flew in from our home bases and met here in Anchorage about a week ago. So it's the whole U.S. ski team men's group, which is myself and Hoffman, Simi Hamilton, and we also have Eric Bjornsson here and Ben Saxton. So it's us training alongside kind of the top-level APU skiers. So we've had a good week of training so far, a lot of roller skiing, a lot of running. And we basically had to split up the two camps because there's not quite enough room up on the glacier to have all the best women in the country and also the best men in the country up there at the same time. So that's kind of why we split it up and why our camps are staggered a week behind one another, so that the women trained here in Anchorage for a week before we came in, and then so they're up on the glacier while we are in town here training out of Anchorage.
Yeah, so the way I heard it, Andy, is the women left town when you arrived, so when you guys arrived, so I thought, hey, what's going on there? But
yeah. I know, pretty typical, huh?
Well, you know, so you cleared it up, though. But it's kind of a nice statement in a way, you know, that there's not enough room on the camp or on the glacier for so many of the top skiers in itself. Because I remember, you know, watching or talking with Keegan Randall, you know, years ago when she was the only female skier and, you know, on the team. And now there's quite a group of talented gals with her. And, you know, so it's quite a statement to see that progression, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, the budget of the U.S. ski team can only go so far, which is kind of unfortunate why our team has to be so small. But one of the things that we've tried to do over the last few years is kind of make more of the camps inclusive. So the ski team will bring in top skiers who aren't part of the U.S. ski team. And so that's kind of an example of what we have going on here, how the U.S. ski team women go up on the glacier with skiers from APU. But there's also like other non-U.S. ski team skiers. Like I know Caitlin Gregg was up there and Erica Flowers and some other skiers that get invited to these camps. And that's basically our goal, is to get the fastest skiers together so that we can all learn from one another and hammer on one another a little bit.
Absolutely.
So it seems like it's working out well.
And they also had Celine Brunlee from Norway there, I understand, for the camp. Like it's part of a little bit of an international swapping going on.
Yeah, exactly. They invited a few of the Norwegians, and I think Celine was the only one that could make it. On the men's side, we are only Americans at the moment, but maybe down the road we'll get to invite some of our foreign buddies over.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you done any camps? I know that Devin Kershaw went over and did something, I think, I can't remember, in Norway or Sweden, but have you or any of the others done anything over there?
2 years ago I went over and did a camp. We did a camp with the ski team in Europe, and I ended up staying longer, and I trained for another 10 days alongside the Norwegian national team, and that was pretty cool. It was definitely like a learning experience to see how those guys do it.
Sure.
So that's kind of been my only experience training with other national teams, but we do a fair amount of training with the Canadians. I know hopefully we're going to be able to get a chance to link up with Tor Arne and the Canadian men next month in the Northeast. So we're hoping to get some training together with those guys next month.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And you guys obviously have a little bit of a long-standing rivalry as well, but in a friendly kind of way.
Yeah, definitely.
So recap for us on the Bend camp. So that was your first camp. And talk a little bit about Bend and then what happened in between and what's brought you here.
So Bend is usually our first on-snow camp. So we kind of go up and ski at Mount Bachelor and ski on the last bit of spring snow they have up there. And this year, Bend Camp was great, as always. It's the time of year where we're not training too intensely, so it's a lot of easy distance, and it's kind of a great way to work on technique. For us, the big goal of Bend this year was to do like these super technique-focused workouts. So we would go in and actually watch video of some skiers that we'd want to mimic, so we would if it was a classic day, we might find our favorite classic skier on the World Cup and watch 5 or 10 minutes of video of them before we went out skiing. And we literally did that every single day. And so that was a good way to work on technique. And for me personally, I switched on to Fisher boots and bindings this year. So that's been a big change for me. And so kind of changing around my technique to ski on that new equipment has been pretty cool. So I was able to make some big technique changes just in that like 2 weeks alone in Bend. And so that was kind of the goal for most people. And then, so since then we've been training at home and getting in the big kind of volume distance hours that we usually get in
mm-hmm.
June.
Mm-hmm.
And now that July is here, this is typically when, especially I start adding in more harder intervals, like more level four stuff. So
sure.
It's a good chance to meet up with, APU and the other members of the ski team so we can hammer on each other a little bit as we kind of start. July and August are months where we start to add in a little bit more high intensity training. So
sure.
It's good to kick it off with at least one camp. And then, we didn't have the funds to go to New Zealand this year. So we decided, to do Eagle Glacier instead. And you definitely, I think it's a good idea to try to get on snow if you can in July or August.
Mm-hmm.
So this year it seemed like Eagle Glacier was the best opportunity.
What's it like up there? You've been before.
Yeah, actually it's funny. I did my first ever U.S. ski team camp up there. So that was in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Minson was the coach, and I was a junior in high school, and I went up there and skied with Justin Wadsworth and Carl Swenson.
Wow.
And just got my butt kicked for a week up there on the glacier. But it's funny, that was the last time I was up there, so I can't really remember much about it, but I know it's pretty similar, and it's definitely one of those camps where it's like eat, sleep, train. You can't really venture far from the building. It's right on the edge of these cliffs. It's a really cool view from up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really go out. It's not like you go out and do a little jog or anything. You're basically in this hut. It's more of like a nice building. And there's great food and good living up there. So you're basically inside almost the whole day, except for when you go out training. So it's definitely a skier's kind of eat, sleep, ski lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so you have some downtime to get to know your teammates and the other guys that'll be up there. And I'm sure we'll have some meetings and we'll, you know, probably play some poker and meaningful stuff.
There you go, for sure. You know, it was nice. We saw a picture that Holly Brooks had tweeted, and they looked like they were having some really fine cuisine up there, some good cooking, and looked like, you know, nice place to
yeah.
to ski and, you know, ski hard and eat well.
Yeah, we break the athletes up into different groups. So each, there's like a group of five guys probably that will be in charge of cooking each night. So maybe the girls might have been had a little bit better cooking skills than we might bring to the table, but it'll still be pretty good, I think.
Well, we'd love to see your any tweets you've got of, you know, what you guys come up with. We'll be happy to, you know, to see how we can spread the good word.
Yeah.
So you're on dryland training, and I mean, obviously Alaska has produced some first class skiers, with Keegan Randall, of course, being the tip of the spear. And, but Eric Bjornsson's, is coming into his own. Is he kind of like your guide up there?
Yeah, we're living right across the street from Eric right now. And so guys like Eric and also Reese.
Sure. Reese Hanneman.
You know, really great, U.S. skiers who, because they live, you know, way out here and we live in Vermont, we don't get to train with one another very often. Maybe just one or two camps a year. So that's a big draw to be able to come out here and train with those guys. And I think there's probably a little bit of a, since Simi, me, and Ben are here, there's like, you definitely see that SMS APU rivalry that we sparked so much here at Spring Series, you know, battling each other in the relays.
Absolutely.
And, it's good. I think it's a good rivalry we have going. So you see that in the workouts too. Like we'll be doing level four bounding intervals the other day, and they were literally the hardest intervals I've done all year long. Like me and Bjornsson were just, and Lex I think was up there too, just racing each other on the last interval, running as hard as we possibly could with poles. And so it's a good SMS APU battles going on out there.
Absolutely. It's great to see it. It's good to push each other and see how far you can go, and it's all part of improving, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I know in your latest column in Ski Track, you talked about, you know, shaking up your training and, you know, not falling into the same sort of, it's good to have some familiarity, but it's also good to shake it up and try different things. Have you done anything different this year to try to up your game?
Yeah, one of the things I'm doing different is kind of training. I think as you get older, you can get away from kind of the 4-week cycle that a lot of athletes train in. There's so many athletes that look at a month and they go, okay, it's going to be a medium week, a medium hard, a hard week, and then a recovery week. There's your 4 weeks. And I think if you train that way for over 10 years, your body starts to get used to that kind of rhythm. So one of the things I've been doing differently this year is breaking up the weeks or the months in that I might do one easy week and then two really big weeks followed by one easy week. So it's kind of like two on, one off, two on, one off, which is kind of a similar training camp kind of training weekly format. So that's one thing, and just finding different ways to stress the body. So, yeah, doing intervals, you know, maybe doing more running with poles intervals is an example of, like, something just to change it up so that you're not getting used to the training that you're doing year after year.
Yep. Well, maybe a little bit more SMS, APU kind of rivalry won't hurt either, right?
Yeah, and that's good, and it's cool to come out here and do a camp. Like, most of us haven't been out to Alaska to do a training camp in the summer, and in forever, so taking a little break from New Zealand, you know, I love training down there, but it's even just taking a break from where you usually do your training camp can kind of be a different stress and a different way to approach the summer, and it can come out making you a lot fitter in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very positive. Just to switch topics a little bit, because we talked earlier about technology and not having internet and up there, but also I was wondering if you guys have any plans, because I know over the last little bit there's been some funky videos coming out of the team, lots of fun, and I know the Swedes got into it with one of their antics videos. So anything in the works that we might look forward to from the U.S. team?
I hope so. I mean, I bring my cameras most places I go. I have a partnership with GoPro, so I travel around with a ton of GoPros, and I stick them different places and try to ski with them when I can, and try to capture the more exciting days we have here on the road.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we'd like to get a cool ski team video going. We actually started making one last year, like another dance video, like we did with the Taylor Swift type thing.
Yeah. Yep.
But we did it right before the Olympics, and we never had time to completely edit it.
Okay.
So we actually never put it out. So we have a lot of good footage stockpiled. So I think people can look forward to having a good U.S. ski team dance video coming out at some point. So we have a lot of footage to use. As far as the little videos, I hopefully will put one out, you know, after this glacier camp. And I try to take as much video can as I can at a camp and then put out a quick little video at the end of each training camp, just to give people a visual.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, the technology is so wonderful that way, allowing everybody to have a portal into what's happening, you know, in that segment of whether it's a training camp or a race or an interview, even like we're doing now, that type of thing. It's pretty cool. And I was talking to Sadie Bjornsson not long ago and asking her about her shower, singing career, and, so it's great to see you guys having fun on the road and finding ways, creative ways to bring that, bring the team's, kind of what's going on, this team spirit, to all of us. You're away for a long time, so it's not always easy to, keep things going. So what happens, so this camp, lasts, another week or so, is that correct?
Yep.
And then what happens after that?
So we have one more week here, and then we'll all go home and then meet up, at the end of August. So everyone will have about 3 to 4 weeks at home before we meet up at the end of August at Lake Placid. And we'll have 2 weeks in Lake Placid, which will be our next training camp. And that's always a big one. You know, we do a lot of intervals there. We do the climb to the castle, hopefully, and might even get a chance to train with some of the biathletes this year. Like, be good to link up with Tim and Lowell.
Absolutely.
Those guys, and train with them.
Yep.
So it's kind of a goal. And then our final camp is a combination camp in October where we do 10 days in Park City, and then we'll do a week in Canmore for Frozen Thunder. So that's kind of the plan to to wrap up our last camp before we head over to Europe in November.
That sounds neat. I'm just bringing up Top of the Mountain with some story.
Yeah, the Climb to the Castle.
Climb the Castle, thanks. And I think Tim Burke won last year, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was hard to ski with last year. He just V2'd that whole hill. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think it was him and Liz were just out there on a tear. Well, it sounds good, Andy. Well, listen, it sounds like the camp's going well so far, and great to spend some time with you and learn more about what's happening, and wish you all the best with the camp, and we look forward to seeing what recipes or what you guys come up with in the kitchen and on the videos and of course on the skis.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, all the best. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.